Some people have voices that make things happen. You know the sort of thing. And most teachers, if you're a teacher, you'll know this. Most teachers have a special big voice. And they only bring it out every now and again. It's the sort of voice where they only have to say a few words and the whole room falls silent. It's the sort of voice that makes things happen. Now, lots of vicars, they have a voice that makes things happen too. You know the sort of thing, you know, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today, and they only have to say a few words, and you're away with the fairies. You know, you're drifting free. If my voice does that to you, try and ignore the sound of it this morning. Just listen to the things I'm saying, because certain voices, they have certain effects, don't they? God has a voice that makes things happen. Genesis, at the start of the Bible, tells us that the first thing that happened in all creation was that God spoke. He said a few words, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke, and the universe happened. God spoke, and there was life. Jesus has a voice that makes things happen. He speaks and the dead rise. John's Gospel tells us in that reading we had before that he went to the grave of his friend Lazarus and he said a few words. Now that's nothing unusual, is it? People are always going to the grave of loved ones and saying a few words. But the words that Jesus said were, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus did. Jesus spoke, and there was life. Now, it's that connection between what God says and what Jesus says that this passage in John's Gospel that I've just read is all about. Now, it's there in the end of verse 19 of that passage. Please, if you close your Bible, look at it again. It's John chapter 5, verse 19, where Jesus says, "Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus is the Son of God. And that means that he has his dad's characteristics. God the Father speaks and his words give life and they judge people. So, Jesus the Son speaks and his words give life and they judge people. Now we've been going through a Bible overview here at Christ Church, you know, seeing what the whole storyline of the whole Bible is. And a couple of weeks ago, we reached that point in the Bible where Jesus walks onto the scene. And we saw that he really is the center of it all. Jesus is everything that God has promised. Do you remember we were saying that a couple of weeks ago? Well, since then, we've been through Easter, haven't we? And we've thought about Jesus dying and rising again. And we've been thinking about how that is the most important thing that's ever happened. Well, this morning we're thinking about the future. We're thinking about our future, about what will happen after we die. And so it's no surprise that there too, when we think about those things too, we need to know that the center of the issue is Jesus Christ. He's the heart of it all. He is the one who will judge. He is the one who will make the decision whether we get to enjoy God's eternity forever or whether we're cast outside into hell. You know, we all know something of how merciful and kind Jesus is. Even if we don't know that directly from our experience, we've heard of it probably, but we also need to know that he will be the judge of us and of everyone else. That's who Jesus is. We're going to discover two things this morning about Jesus, our judge. One thing is something about the future, and the other thing is something about now. All right? Something about the future, something about now. The first one's this. Now, if you're a writey-downy sort of person, if you write things down to remember things, then write this down in your little space on the sheet. Write this down. You will hear Jesus' voice in the future. That's our first thing we're thinking about. You will hear Jesus' voice in the future. One day, sometime in the future, we don't know when, Jesus will say a few words and something extraordinary will happen. All the dead will rise. Now Jesus tells us about this, doesn't he? It's there in verse 28 of that Bible passage, John chapter 5. Have a look at it with me. He says this. Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his, Jesus' voice and come out." Jesus will speak, and everyone in the whole of history will rise from their graves and stand before him. That's what the Bible calls the resurrection. Right? The resurrection. That's something that gets talked about by the prophets in the Old Testament. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the Old Testament prophets, about how they were receiving a vision from God. They're hearing from God and telling the people how God was going to send the people of Israel away into exile as a punishment from their sin. But then he was going to do something in the future beyond exile. They were telling of how God was going to put the world to rights, the other side of the exile. Well, as God opened up that vision to those prophets, it became clear that God was promising more than just the people of Israel coming back from exile. God was promising a resurrection of people. And we see that in a number of places in the Old Testament prophets, but especially perhaps in the prophet Daniel, and I'm thinking of chapter 12 of Daniel's book, chapter 12 verse 2, why don't you have a look at it later, where God says through the prophet, he says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." That's the resurrection. You know, when we think of the resurrection, we tend to think of Easter Day, don't we? When the Old Testament prophets, and when people in Jesus' time thought about the resurrection, they were thinking about the last day. They were thinking about Judgment Day. They were thinking about the day when all people are raised from their graves. Now that seems unimaginable to us, doesn't it? You know, absolutely everyone raised from their graves. That's the power of Jesus' voice. You know, just like how God spoke in the beginning and all that there is came into being out of absolutely nothing. Well, so then, on that day, Jesus will speak and those who've been dead, even for thousands of years, will rise. Now, the logistics of it is, I think it's beyond me, to be honest. And the logistics of how it will work, they needn't concern us, because the fact is, Jesus is able to make it happen. He's proved it. He proved it when he said, "Lazarus, come out." He proved it when he rose from the dead himself. Jesus, of anyone ever, is able to do this. Jesus will speak, and the dead will rise. Now that means everyone, doesn't it? That means all of us here, if we've died by then. That's everyone we've ever known. It's everyone we've never known. You know, we will all hear his voice in the future, and then everyone will face him as their judge. Now if you think about it, that's a really good thing, and it's a scary thing. It's a scary good thing. It's really good because it means that nobody will get away with it, will they? Because one of the grim things about real life as opposed to James Bond films is that in real life, it often seems that the baddies do get away with it, don't they? You know, people live very well off being as horrible as they can be, and they often seem to get away with it. Now, it's in the news a lot at the moment, isn't it? But that's one of the things that's bothered people so much about the whole Jimmy Savile story, isn't it? You know, he left this trail of devastation, of hurt people. And it never seemed to catch up with him. It never caught up with him, did it? He died peacefully. He was still deeply popular. He was mourned by the nation. He had a whole night of primetime TV devoted to him. He got away with it, didn't he? Well, no, he didn't. Because one day Jesus will speak, and Jimmy Savile will rise from his grave and face him as his judge. Now, Jesus being judge, it's a good thing, because it means that nobody will get away with it. Evil will be punished. History is not just pointless. Jesus is just. But Jesus being judge, it's also a scary thing. Well, you know, for exactly the same reason, actually, because nobody will get away with it. You know, just look at that verse 29 with me. Have a look at that verse 29, where Jesus says, "Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." You see, in this Bible passage, there's speaking and hearing going on, isn't there? And it's not just that Jesus is speaking and we are hearing. No, according to this verse, Jesus hears too. He says, "I judge only as I hear." Our every action, our every word and thought will come before the ears of Jesus. And he will judge us according to those things. Now that too, it's a scary good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing because Jesus will judge fairly. That's very good. You see, if I were the judge, I wouldn't be fair at all. I would be much harder on people who'd done something to hurt those close to me. They would get a really raw deal from me. And people who'd done something which had nothing to do with me would get treated much more leniently. You know, personal judges, personal grievances affect justice, don't they? That's why they go to all that trouble to make sure that the people who are on the jury don't know the people who are standing trial. What Jesus says here is really good news. He's not going to hold any grudges. He's not going to let personal grievances affect his verdict. He seeks only to please his Father, not himself. He will be just. He will judge exactly by what he hears. But in another sense, well, the last thing I want is a just judge. If I have to stand before someone and give account for everything I've ever done, you know, I'm hoping for a forgetful judge, or a biased judge, or an incompetent judge who might, you know, forget some of the key evidence and let me off somehow. Because under the clear scrutiny of justice, I know that I don't qualify as someone who's not done evil. The Bible makes it very clear that all of us have done evil. Those two categories in verse 29, those who rise to live and those who rise to be condemned. Well, the Bible's very clear. None of us deserve to rise to live. We might think we deserve life, because we use our own little categories of relative justice, don't we? You know, things like, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as him. Or I'm not as bad as I could be. But Jesus doesn't use categories like that. His judgment is just. Absolutely fair. The condemnation of God is no less and no more than we deserve. It's perfectly measured to fit. So that's what will happen in the future. Jesus will speak, and the dead will hear, and come out of their graves, and stand before him, and he will judge us all justly. And nobody who's condemned on that day will be able to say, that's not fair, because Jesus will be completely just. You will hear the voice of Jesus in the future. That's the first thing we're thinking about this morning. Is that something that you think about very much? Maybe we need to. That's the first thing. You will hear the voice of Jesus in the future. The other thing's this. Will you hear Jesus' voice now? You know, if you write things down, write this down. Will you hear Jesus' voice now? Jesus' voice will be powerful to raise the dead in the future, but his voice is just as powerful now. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25 with me. He says this, doesn't he? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. A time has now come, he says. This isn't talking about the dead in their graves hearing Jesus' voice in the future, is it? This is Jesus talking about now. Now, he says, there are people who are dead who will hear Jesus' voice and live. Well, what does he mean? Does he mean that we should expect to see people popping out of their graves all over the place? Is that what we're to expect? Well, I don't think so. If we're going to understand what he means, well, we need to look at the verse before, don't we? We need to look at the context there. We need to look at verse 24. It says this. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. People who hear Jesus' word and believe have crossed over from death over here to life over here. You know, the dead who Jesus is talking about, they're not those who are physically dead. He's talking about the walking dead. He's talking about ordinary people like you and me who will in the future face condemnation when all their deeds are judged. And what he says to people like us is amazing. He says if we listen to his words and believe what he says, that is, if we believe in his Father, we have eternal life. Not one day we will have eternal life. No, we have it now. If we are believing and trusting in Jesus, we have already crossed over from death to life. Jesus makes that exact same point, doesn't he? In the story of the raising of Lazarus that we heard just before. Do you remember that scene in the middle of that story where Jesus is having that conversation with Martha about Lazarus, her brother? And he says this to her. He says, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, well, yeah, I know he'll rise on the last day. Martha knows about the resurrection, doesn't she? She says, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection, at that last day in the future, when everyone will be raised and judged. But Jesus says, no, you've still not got it. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me has eternal life, even though he dies. Jesus is the resurrection. Now this is how Easter Day connects with the future. This is really important, this. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Day, that was like the last day, the judgment day, come early. Easter was God declaring his verdict on Jesus. It was God declaring his judgment on Jesus. God said on Easter Day when Jesus rose, he said, Jesus is innocent. Jesus is not guilty. Death has no hold on Jesus. That was God's verdict on Jesus on Easter Day. And that means that if we have Jesus, and if we believe and trust in Jesus, then we have Jesus. If we have Jesus, then the last day has come early for us. If we're joined on to Jesus through faith, If we trust in Jesus, well then, God's verdict on Jesus is his verdict on us. What belongs to Jesus belongs to us. God's verdict on Jesus is his verdict on us. We too have the not guilty verdict now, ahead of time. It's been announced already, early. If we have Jesus, well then, we have eternal life and we will not be condemned. That's an amazing thing to promise, isn't it? You know, that you or I, while knowing that our deeds deserve condemnation on that judgment day, we can nevertheless know now that we will not be condemned just because we hear Jesus' voice and believe. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a bit like that game of Monopoly. Have you ever played Monopoly? It's horrible, isn't it? I think Monopoly's evil. It's all these pleasant, you know, genteel, middle-class games they are, aren't they? They're all evil. It's like croquet. Croquet looks like a genteel pastime until you play it. And then you find out it's basically all about grinding your opponents into the dirt by sending their ball off into the bushes again and again. Well, in Monopoly, the aim is to bankrupt all the other players until they storm off in a huff. That's how you know you're doing it right, when they go in a huff. You know, and my mum and dad, they almost reached irreconcilable differences over a game of Monopoly once. That's the sort of game it is. And one of the features of the Monopoly board is the jail square, isn't it? You know, when you land on that square, you have to stay in jail and miss a few turns. And it's a fearful place, that jail square. You don't want to land there. You're stuck there. Unless you have a get-out-of-jail-free card. Now, if you've got one of them, well, then the jail square has no hold on you. The jail square, it stops being a fearful place for you. It becomes a safe place for you. You can land on there. It means you don't land on Park Lane. You don't have anybody else bankrupting you. You can land there. It's okay. So you can go on playing the game with no fear of the dreaded jail square because you have the get-out-of-jail-free card. And Jesus offers us the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card, doesn't he? He says that for those who hear his word and believe, the final verdict of judgment day is already decided. If we trust in him, judgment day holds no fear for us. Death itself stops being such a fearful thing. It becomes a safe place for us because we know the verdict of that judgment already. We know that we already have eternal life. We know that death, ultimately, and judgment have no hold on us. That's amazing. How can that be fair? You know, how can Jesus let guilty people like us off? You know, just because we believe in him. Doesn't that make a mockery of all that talk about nobody getting away with it before? Doesn't it? Well, no, it doesn't. Because God does punish our sin. He punished it when Jesus died on the cross. You know, when Jesus, the judge, took our judgment on himself so that we don't have to. That's what happened on the cross. That's why the cross was so terrible for Jesus. Because he, the one who knew all that we ever done, all that we'd ever done, knew all that we deserved, he went through the hell that we deserve, so that we don't have to. No sin was overlooked. It was punished in full in Jesus on the cross. So that verse, verse 24, it's absolutely true. Look at it again, it's breathtaking. Verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Isn't that amazing? Judgment happens in two stages. There will be a day in the future when everyone in their graves will hear Jesus' voice and rise. And on that day, everyone will be judged according to what they've done. But for those who hear Jesus' voice and believe now, the verdict of that last day can be settled now. If you hear and believe, You have crossed over from death to life. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've responded to Jesus' word, well, that's you. You have crossed over from death to life. You will not be condemned. So, back to that big question again. Will you hear the voice of Jesus now? You know, if you're someone who's not yet believed in Jesus' word, if you've not given your life over to him, then see what an amazing thing it is that he offers. He offers you life, guaranteed life. He offers you that oh so precious verdict of life at the final judgment. That's not something that anything else can offer you. You know, there's plenty of other religions out there that talk about final judgment, but none of them offer anything like the certain hope that Jesus does. Nothing like it. You know, the best they can do is they can tell you to try your best. Try and hope that your good deeds will somehow outweigh your bad deeds. Which, if God is just, they obviously can't, can they? And you've just got to hope that somehow God might let you off on the day. But you don't know. There's no certainty. There's no assurance there at all. Jesus alone offers you a settled verdict ahead of time. And he wants you to have it. That's the astonishing thing about this great judge, Jesus. You know, he wants you to be given life and not to be condemned. He's interested in justice, but not only justice. He's not an overzealous judge who delights in condemning people. No, look at the lengths that he went to in order that we might be given life instead of death. He went through hell that you don't have to. That's what he offers. So don't put the offer aside for a rainy day. You know, one thing the Bible never tells us is how much time we have to decide whether to believe Jesus' word or not. You know, what the Bible says is today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, do we? We don't know what will happen to us. We don't know what's going to happen in here. Our hearts might become so hardened that we never give it another moment's thought. We don't know. Jesus says a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. You know, in an important sense, today is the day of judgment. Don't leave it till it's too late. If you hear Jesus' voice now, if you hear him calling you to believe now, calling you to be a follower of him now, well then don't go away. Don't forget about it. Don't go home without responding. Talk to somebody about how to respond. Talk to me about it. I'd be really pleased to talk to you about it. Yeah, I'd love to, but don't do nothing. Now, if you're already trusting in Jesus, well, then I hope you see what a gift he's given us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Whoever hears his word and believes the one who sent him has eternal life and will not be condemned. That's got to make all the difference in the world, hasn't it? Hasn't it? You know, don't you think so? Are you someone who can't ever believe that you're good enough? Well, Jesus says to you that you have eternal life and will not be condemned if you trust in him. Are you someone who struggles with doubts about God? You just don't think your faith is strong enough. Well, Jesus says that you have eternal life and will not be condemned. Just trust him. Just trust him. Are you frightened about things in your future that you can't control? Jesus says that in your future you have eternal life and will not be condemned if you trust in him. That's wonderful, isn't it? So go on trusting him, because it's Jesus who says it, and his words make things happen, so we can trust him. And what about our friends who don't know Jesus? Well, the time's now, isn't it? The Jesus who we know longs for them to know him. He alone can offer them the certainty in the face of coming judgment. And he does that through his word, through his message reaching them. As they hear of Jesus, that's how they call, that's how he calls. That's how he offers them life. So will we be channels for that word to reach them? Will we tell them? Judgment, then. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's about Jesus who is the just judge. Jesus who has a voice that makes things happen. You will hear Jesus' voice in the future when he summons everyone to the judgment. He calls now, offering life. Will you hear his voice now? Let's pray. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would give us soft hearts, responsive hearts, ears to hear, minds to understand, wills to respond, Lord, so that we might receive your word, that we might hear your word and believe. Lord, please make us those who trust Jesus and who go on trusting Jesus because he is trustworthy. Thank you so much for him. Thank you for the amazing offer that he gives. Thank you for the wonderful promises that he makes. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.